So much to do, so much to say. Rico, how are you? Are you ready to rock?
Let's do it.
He's in his fashion Jack Golke hat. This is going to be a big day today. So, we're all thinking the same thing. This is one of the rare times you, Kenny, David, like, we are all united on one thing. And it's last night, and it's the idea of when you wonder why, like you did this topic yesterday, and I was conflicted about, I want the Tigers to win, but I feel spite. The spite is based on the fact that if you're not going to act like a major league organization, I resent you. Every time you put Maeda on the mound, you're giving a game away. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not an opinion. It's actual facts.
That's fact.
Of any pitchers in baseball who have made at least 15 starts, he is the only guy with an ERA north of 6 with a 7.26. You have lost 8 straight Maeda starts. 8. You're 8 games out of the wild card. You've lost 11 of his 15 starts. Now, this is the same baseball team that continues to put Javi Baez out there with a negative 8 defensive run saved and essentially just a negative war player. You put him out there every night. You're putting Maeda out every 5th. I mean, Rico, if I run the team, here's how this works. Maeda never pitches for me again. Mm-hmm. Now, how you arrive at that is your business. He is a veteran. He can turn down a demotion. You could come up with a mystery injury like kneecap hurts, IL, and then rehabbing his knee, he got hit by a car, 60-day DL. You can do whatever you want. Mize is off the IL next week. Rico, they can't pitch this guy anymore.
No, I guess your best case scenario is you just stick him in the pen. If you somehow can't get him off the active roster, you're gonna rot out there in the bullpen. You're never gonna play unless we are down 12-1 and then you come in and pitch.
The other thing is, look, here's my problem. I want to play some audio for you guys. And I know that the team was not on basic TV, obviously, duh. But if you were watching, for instance, MLB Network, they have the big inning where it's 4 different games and the Tigers were featured heavily because they did come back. And Colt Keith continues to heat up and play really well.
Henry Molloy hitting the home run.
Imagine if you had Wyatt Langford to go with him.
We'll get to that later. What bothers me, this is a team that is struggling to win games. You don't have a superstar. When you don't have a superstar, you got to steal games here, there, and they're not doing that. That's the frustrating thing about it. When you see players up here who shouldn't be here, when there's Akil Baddoo, when you don't have the people who can help you, when you go out there and put Maeda on the mound knowing it's a loss.
Right.
You have to steal a game here or there because you don't have the big bat to rely on. You don't have that person that's just going to hit that home run and drive it in. That's the frustrating thing about this team. And it's why it feels at sometimes like they're not trying and they're just giving it away. And every time this man takes the mound, you're giving this game away.
And
you saw that last night. Hypothetically speaking, he's not on the mound. Maybe you don't spot the other team 6 runs. And then have to play comeback.
I mean, it's just, look, it's an embarrassment. And I wish they would step up and act real. Because here's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of other teams and other towns being able to openly make fun of us. Here, take a listen to the Guardians broadcast last night. Now, mind you, you'd never see the TV broadcast say anything like anything about anything. But here's what happened when Javi got hit with the pitch. A little kerfuffle. Take a listen.
Javier Baez. He got hit. I'll tell you what, Salem's just all over the place. Baez chirping. Look, Javi, you're hitting way under 200. Nobody's hitting you on purpose. It wasn't even a fastball. It's a breaking ball. You can see Hedgie tell it's a slider. It's a slider.
They can make fun of us because
the announcer with the chair.
Right. Well, that's my whole point is look, I want to be viewed as a baseball team as real. And look, yesterday we did the show. The idea in this town that Scott Harris skates misusing 25% of their total payroll to sign 2 dinosaurs in Maeda and Canna. That's $25 million. Tell me again you didn't have the money for Matt Chapman. Tell me again you were blocking people. I'm still looking at Akil Badu, Zach McKinstry. So look, my thing is this. If you're a Tiger fan or if you're just loosely following, how can you have Maeda pitch for you again? How? Any farmhand gives you a better shot. And I don't think Maeda is a bad guy. I don't think he wants to be bad. If you listen to the postgame, he doesn't want to be horrific, but he is. And I can't change that Scott Harris thought this guy was worth 2 years instead of Jack Flaherty. I can't change that. Rico, they can't pitch him. No. Mize is off the DL next week. Now, here's the thing. Maeda's next start, if I'm right.
Sunday.
Dodgers. Last game before the All-Star break. Now, if you continue to play Baez and continue to pitch Maeda, you're telling your fan base you don't care. That's what you're telling them.
Yeah.
You can get upset when you hear that. You could tell me that that's not accurate. I'm telling you what it feels like, seems like.
Yeah,
that's what it says.
You can come up with all the platitudes of the participation trophy things and saying, and look, we came back, and my God, that game was close, wasn't it? Wow, we almost won. You didn't. You didn't win, and you knew you weren't going to win.
Then my point is this. Okay, if some of you believe it's unfair to talk about Scott Harris, who's acting as the president of baseball ops in year two, well, then explain this. Is it unfair to start drawing direct lines on losses to the desk of Scott Harris? This team is in the position they're in because you didn't want to go get bats. Because you gave a 50-year-old pitcher a 2-year deal and he's a gas can. I can make direct lines to that. Hey, guess what? You know why we're losing now? Because you took a high schooler. Because you wanted a 2-for-1, and fine, it may pay off in 27. Right now, I could have Colt Keith next to Wyatt Langford, 2-3 in this lineup. Riley, Colt, Wyatt, Chapman, argue it. I can draw direct lines to why we're losing to his desk. How is that unfair?
It's not.
And honestly, I just would like to know your perspective on it. I'm not expecting to light the phone lines up, but last night, you gave the game away. You gave it away, not because your offense didn't have a good night. They did. Hell, Gio Urshela with a 3-run homer. And Lively, the guy that the Guardians put out there, I don't care about a lack of pedigree. He's been good for them. You touched him up. You did your job. You put the worst pitcher in baseball on the mound again. And again, it's like Baez. You continue to put him out there again and again. What other message does it send than this year doesn't matter?
No, you're right. I mean, when the other announcer is saying, yeah, Javi, just take the base.
Right, who's trying to hit you?
Come on. If anything, they want you to stand up there and bat.
And he's right. It's an off-speed pitch. Right. If I'm going to hit you, we're going to throw a fastball at your spine.
Right.
Kenny, go ahead.
Last night was the perfect example of your stat that you gave, your Encosta's stat from yesterday. If you score more than 2 runs, you should be winning that ball game. The only reason you didn't was because you're actively putting out, like you said, the worst pitcher in baseball. I'm counting these games as Scott Harris games. I called the game before a Scott Harris game because you're not winning that game 9 times out of 10. That was a 1-0 miracle victory that shouldn't have happened to begin with. And that was because you didn't bring bats in. So right. Another Scott Harris game. There's direct lines. There's Scott Harris's fingerprints all over all these games. And it's now starting to piss me off. Last night really bugged me.
That's okay. You should be angry because you care. You root for your team. And the reality is, guys, 5-6 games makes the difference in everything. If we really look at it, I mean, think about it. We were all hanging out watching the day game back in May, and Javi gets picked off of second base. That's Scott Harris. No intelligent baseball man would play Javi Baez on a daily basis, unless you're being told you have to. Can't prove it. I'm just saying scenario-wise, what other conclusion could I draw? You don't get to go, not that Scott Harris talks to anyone other than the Have a Slumber Party podcast. The point is, he's not a defensive help. He was a -8 defensive run save when he got hurt. All right, in the 4 games, I'm sorry. He hasn't really ate into that number. You're an unserious person playing these guys. Mm-hmm. So, Rico, here's my thing. They get to the All-Star break. Fine, if you want to tell me Mize isn't back before the All-Star break, they have to pitch Maeda one more time. Fine, here's what I want. Tell me if this is fair, reasonable. After the All-Star break, I don't care what they do with Maeda, but he can never take that mound again. He can't be out there. It's an insult.
Yeah.
whether it's the minors, a buyout, a fake injury, or they strap him to a SpaceX rocket. Whatever it is, he can't pitch you.
That's it. I'm with you. I bury him deep in the bullpen if that's the final option. And you are just that guy. It's either you or we throw Riley Green on the mound. Okay, fine. You can go ahead and pitch again because the game is already 20 to nothing.
Is that bullpen in Toledo, West Michigan, single A?
No. It's here.
No. He should not be allowed on the mound in Comerica or on the road or wherever they play this year.
Well, here's the thing. You look at Chris Fetter, the pitching coach. If he can't fix him,
no one can.
What are you going to learn down
in
Toledo?
That's why I don't want him in the bullpen.
So that's why, you know, because I was talking with Gator in the crosstalk. I'm like, well, you sent him down there. Okay, you probably have the best pitching coach right here.
Right.
So if he's done miracles with a lot of guys and turned a lot of average pitchers good and good pitchers great, he's got to be throwing up his hands. If that's the case, then he's damaged goods. And you got to get rid of him. And if you can't, I, God help you, because I don't know where you're going to go. But you're right. He should never have a starting. He should never start again for this
game. And my point is, and again, I don't want to constantly, because they're both Illich-owned teams, do the Steve deal. But, like, we understand you can't go crazy criticizing in year two of a rebuild. All right, well, but at what point could we start? Well, when Steve signed Sherratt. Awful. Cop, awful. Hull, awful. This Wallman deal without replacement thus far, awful. Scott Harris is the same thing. He had the audacity to trout out Mark Canna's our veteran bat addition. $12.5 million. It's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Kent Maeda, a two-year deal for a guy who's 36, 37 years old. He's the worst pitcher in baseball. Guys, you get to talk about it in real time. And that's well beyond any of the other debates in this town. If the Tigers want to be viewed as a serious organization, then start acting like it. Mm-hmm. Maeda can't pitch here anymore. And at some point in the second half of the season, Javi Baez can't be here anymore. Otherwise, you're going to have the other people in town making fun of you. On TV, on radio, you're a parody. That's what you are. And that's not right. It's too...
Here's the thing. It's not even making fun of you, Mike. It's the sad reality of this is just who you are.
Now, that's even more depressing. Yeah, that was a Guardians telecast. And if you were watching MLB Network, they were picking up that feed. Look, it's just, if you want to be taken seriously, then be serious. Kenta Maeda can't pitch here anymore. I don't care what they have to do. Figure it out. It's not my problem. It's not my money. I don't care. And the Baez thing, it's the same deal. The second half of this season, if you want me to accept all is lost, which it is, and if you want me to just accept that it's an extended spring training, Maeda and Baez can't be here after the All-Star break. Can't. Otherwise, you're a parody, and you deserve everything that comes your way. So that's just where we're at. We won't stick with it too long, but again, anyone but Maeda on the mound last night, you win that game. I could say that to you with a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
You start a guy in your lineup every day who's the worst player in baseball, and you start a pitcher every fifth day who's the worst pitcher in baseball. Now, one of them is directly Scott Harris's fault. He signed this guy. The other one is not, but I'm sorry. The first thing I would do if I took this job, I'm absolutely going to ask the question of, if I take this job, can I buy this bum out? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I gave him a year. He played all last year. Now it's into year two. He's the worst player in the sport. It's on Scott Harris, because you know what your job to do is? Have an uncomfortable conversation with your boss.
Wasn't his first message when he came into town, I want players who can control the strike zone. You have a terrible pitcher and a guy that swings at every slider thrown his way.
That's the opposite of what we're talking about, Scott. Mistakes were definitely made in that opening commentary. All right, let's go to Katie, 97.1. Katie, how you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I agree. You can put an L probably when he pitches, unless they put up 12 runs, which they rarely do. And you had a caller Monday when it was the Scoobal talk, and he goes, can I ask you about Kenta Maeda? He was right. It's my dad freaks out when he pitches, and he's just awful. And Baez, well,
it's embarrassing is what it is. That was my whole point with this. It's embarrassing. There's no reason
And he makes faces like he got a bad call. I'm like, no, you had a bad pitch. And we got, I don't know if I can say screwed on the air, but I just did.
You just did.
On that trade, I mean, my dog's barking.
No problem.
Why we got him and what Harris saw in him and was like, oh, he'd be good to this one.
But that's the whole point. And look, I'm not responsible for what other people do, write, say, read. It's just, I don't understand how Scott Harris does not receive more criticism. I don't. Oh, it's year two. Right. And actively, we're watching you not do a very good job today. Mm-hmm. What may happen 5 years from now, I really don't care. Because I don't get to hit the... This isn't Quantum Leap. I'm not just going to drop in 5 years from now and get to enjoy the delights. We're all in this. We've been suffering for 10 years. And frankly, the early returns, not good. They're not. Look at the acquisition Scott Harris has made. Tell me how many of these are good.
No, Mike, none. I mean, it's... Especially when you juxtapose it against the people that he could have gone after. And they would not have broken the bank. The people we talked about yesterday, that's the frustrating thing about it. As I said earlier in the show, when you're a team like the Tigers, you have to find ways to steal runs, steal games. You don't have that type of lineup out there. When you're throwing your starting pitcher has lost 8 in a row. When you're going out there and you're actively, you have to play Bias. You got to play Badu. You have to be able to steal some runs and steal you. And you almost did last night. I mean, AJ told you, hey, we almost won this game. Be happy.
Oh, see, I didn't like that comment.
I didn't either.
I've said this. Detroit is the best place in the world for you to coach or play because you get the big city money and it's a big time sports town and people will absolutely have your back. But what you don't get, you just don't get real criticism. You don't. If AJ made that comment and he did that in Boston or New York or Chicago or Philly, he would have got raked over to Coles. I didn't like the whole moral victory routine. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
No. I mean, that ranked right up there when Eisenman came out and said, well, we'll just be like last year, you know, when we didn't make the playoffs.
It's,
come on.
It's a weird thing to me. It really is. Let's go to Mark, 97.1. Mark, what's going on, brother?
Hey, gentlemen. Quick question. Do you think that Hinch and Harris are trying to send a direct nonverbal communication to Mr. Ilitch as it pertains to return on investment? And what I mean by that is, if you got two players in this team that are the two, let's just say the two worst players in baseball at their position for ease of conversation, and Mr. Ilitch looks at a budget, and that's what he looks at, a budget, and he looks on gross profit, okay, just for ease of conversation. So my question to you is, if you can articulate to Mr. Ilitch that there is absolutely no way we're going to make the playoffs unless we buy out these guys and bring up those small ones, then I guess you show them on the stat sheet, or I guess you show them in the win-loss column. And maybe that's why they're still on the team playing. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I mean, listen, Mark, the only answer I can give you, and I apologize it's not a better one, is the only reason you'd be playing Baez or Maeda from our position here, just me and you talking on the phone, is because you're forced to. Because no smart baseball man, and I do believe Scott Harris is a smart man, I just don't think he's making smart decisions, no one with a straight face would allow it. So I think that's the best answer I can offer you.
It's a nonverbal direct communication, maybe for the Ilitches, which are only looking at the bottom line.
Maybe, Mark, here's the problem I would have with that. I don't need to be passive aggressive. I don't need to be coy. You're not going to fire me, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm Scott Harris. You hired me a year and a half, 2 years ago. I'm just going to shoot you straight. I need this money to make these moves, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're told no, this isn't high school. This isn't Mean Girls. I'm going to show you. No. Because here's the problem I have with that take. And I'm not saying Mark is saying this, Rico. I'm saying that people want to have it both ways. You get the fans who want to defend Chris Illich and say, oh, no, he'll spend. Then show me. Mm-hmm. Because if Scott Harris actually went and had a conversation, we got to get these two guys out of here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the answer should be, okay.
Yeah,
Scott, it's your show. I got bigger things to do.
See, I got to think that I would hope that this was a part of the interview process with Scott saying, guys, if I take this job, I'm going to need some money. I got players that I want to go and get. It's okay, right? You're going to allow me to do this? Yes. Okay.
I think the crazy part is you got a $97 million payroll and about $40 million of it is complete human waste. Literal Javi Baez Maeda. So you're really operating with a payroll. Oh, and if I added Mark Canha in there, let's just make a round number. Over half of your payroll is absolute nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're operating on a $40 million payroll, $45 million payroll.
See, you're just trying to upset me because
I'm not.
No, because that's because I heard like great things were going to happen once Miggy came off the books. And then just you wait and see. We're going to make moves.
Rico, he spent $25 million on Canha Maeda.
Nope. I'm going to let you do this okay. to me today. It's a...
Hey, whatever Scott decides is good enough for us.
It's a happy July. Yes. Huh? It's a Saratoga July. There you go.
Hey, whatever Stevie decides, good enough for us, right? We're good.
David, play some more horse racing.
It's drops. A de-escalation July. Today, notwithstanding, it's summer. Rico's World Tour is coming up. Hey, we got Saratoga opening tomorrow.
Here's what I'm going to focus on. Did you see that awesome comeback that they had last night? They were down. They were down 6-0, and they tied it up at 7, went to extra innings, and fought hard. That's where my focus will be. Yes.
Didn't realize Bally was hiring. It's quite a remix, David. Let's hit the ticket text for the first time today. We'll get to the callers as well. And again, if you're just joining the show, it's very simple. There's no yelling, none of it. It just, I'm tired of the Detroit Tigers not acting like a serious franchise. You cannot pitch Kenta Maeda anymore, period. I don't care what you do with him. Say the guy has toenail fungus, 60-day DL. Send him down. If he doesn't want to be sent down, buy him out, negotiate it, launch him on a rocket, whatever you like. You can't pitch him anymore. Of the pitchers in baseball with at least 15 starts, only one guy has an ERA north of 6. It's Maeda, a 7.26. You've lost 8 straight and 11.15 when this guy pitches. You're actively giving away games. And then when you do it on top of the fact that every day you stubbornly and brazenly just keep trotting Javi Baez out there. Mm-hmm. Act serious. All right? Otherwise, people are going to continue to treat you like a joke. And it shouldn't be that way. It's too proud of an organization. It's too steeped in history. Enough. Somebody act like you care and have an accountability level. And for the love of God, please, this isn't Little League. I don't want moral victories from A.J. Hinch in the postgame. That's the most minor of the three things I just brought up. David, ticket text, then we'll go calls.
This is a joke for the Tigers. It's like a weird psych experiment. We could have been way more aggressive in the offseason, and we weren't. We overpaid for mediocre talent.
I'll say it. You would have been a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
How about it? You'd be fighting for a playoff spot. I just don't think anyone can make a credible argument anymore to that. Based on what Langford's doing and what Chapman is doing or Bellinger or what any of these guys are doing. And how would it have really upended your development? Guys, no offense, Buddy Kennedy played third base this year. Akil Baddoo has been living in the backseat of my car. Mm-hmm. Zach McKinstry is still here. Like, you please, spare me. And that's frustrating because people deserve a winner. This town deserves a winner. It's been 10 years, and I don't feel urgency at all. And if you're telling me it's a long-term rebuild, well, here's the problem. Then you're kind of trying to shake both hands, because if it's some super long-term rebuild, that Scooble thing becomes a thing. Now, I'm keeping them unless someone gives me something really nice. But I'm at least answering the phone. Now, if no one offers me what's awesome, great, I keep them. My point is you don't get to have it both ways as a fan. So you got
long-term rebuild, but we want to keep our superstar.
Yeah, it feels odd. It feels very Mariners Felix Hernandez to me. Yeah, he did a lot for them when they sucked tailpipe for five straight years.
But we'll retire your number.
Just enjoying those exhaust fumes.
That's a good call right there.
Right? Didn't Mariner fans? I mean, everybody King was Felix, just yeah. rock hard because we had King Felix. Couldn't win a game. I'm just saying, you better get good in a hurry. And I'm open. I'm open to it. Let's get to the deadline. Let's get to this offseason. But if this offseason is like last offseason, I'm sorry. You can't ask me to be. You can't with the Scott Harris thing. Now, I'm hoping he's learned a lesson, and I'm hoping we have a very positive offseason here because I can't do this anymore. It's hard to watch. David, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Realistically, this team is 3 to 4 years away. Expecting them to win games now is silly.
No,
tune
it's
out
not.
And enjoy your
it's
summer.
Not. It's not. No, you're a moron. I hate using terms like that. No, I don't. They're fun. The point is, how can you say they're 3 to 4 years away? Look at the simple moves we've highlighted. Let me ask you a question for fun. If you have Wyatt Langford in that lineup last night, instead of anyone, do you win? If it goes Riley, Keith, Langford, guys had 1,000 OPS the last 4 or 5 weeks. They're not 3 or 4 years away. Why do you think I'm frustrated? You have playoff caliber pitching.
No.
Had you done anything offensively, I think you'd be fighting for a wild card right now. And by the way, I reserve a right to say what I'm saying. I thought they'd win 84, 85 games this year.
Because, Mike, here's the thing. They're not 3 or 4 years away. Realistically speaking, they're 3 or 4 moves away to being a legitimate team. Now, will they win a World Series? I don't know.
No.
But here's one thing that I do know. If you can make it in the playoffs,
anything can happen.
Anything, yep. Especially with the pitching staff that you have.
I just want to try. But can I get a team that tries?
But David, and see, I don't want to say they're not trying, but it does come off that way. And that's why I keep saying this is a team that has to be scrappy. They have to find ways to win. And that means playing certain people, putting certain people in positions to do that, stealing a base here or there, trying to manufacture runs, and this team doesn't do
that. Well, they don't have any speed. Because Scott Harris has built a team that has absolutely no appetite to run.
And there's my frustration. It's like, okay, it's all right not to have a team full of superstars. Doesn't mean you can't go out there and try to maximize what you have.
Hey, you know who's got 7 steals this year? And he missed a month? Wyatt Langford. All right, let's go to...
you know what?
I'm sorry. I got to let it go. I got to let it go. I know. Let's go to Adam, 97.1. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, how we doing, guys? Good.
Hey, what's on your mind?
The whole thing that you guys mentioned with Maeda, I mean, that terrible signings with Canna and Maeda, I believe. I mean, Canna is just terrible. Maeda is just absolutely awful. You didn't even need to add a pitcher, realistically. But to your point, I mean, I don't know how much they're under the cap, but you could have still signed Martinez and Chapman and still been under the cap.
There is no cap.
There's
no cap.
Right, no. Right, payroll is what I meant for the Tigers. But they could have added those two players, and they would be at least north of 500 this year, contending for a playoff spot in the wild card, potentially maybe even the division. But your comments for Hinch yesterday, I mean, they need a coach like I think like in Jim Leland. I mean, he held his players accountable with, answering the media. And he would go, if they had a bad game, he'd be like, you know, I didn't have my players ready, and they came out and played like crap. I mean, they need a coach that would hold these players accountable. I don't care if they're young or whatnot, but,
well,
Harris needs to spend money, man.
Well, okay. So there's a couple of things. And Adam, I will briefly hit on a few of these. A, the accountability you present to the public is often different than what you present privately. So I'm not going to put that on AJ. I'm just saying I don't need to hear it publicly. Second of all, I don't want to play the game of them bringing in 2 high price bats and Wyatt Langford. Because then it treads on unfair. So I've tried to scale it back because we're in a de-escalation July where it's
De-escalation.
One July. Human being plus Langford, you'd be in this wild card race. 100%. I believe that with every fiber of my soul. Because, like, if it were Matt Chapman and Wyatt Langford, by the end of the year, they're going to combine for roughly about a 9.5-10 war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're Frankenstein at third base, and Mark Hanna will be lucky if they get to zero. That's the numbers.
That's the frustrating thing. It's not 3 years away. It's three moves away, and you keep making the wrong moves.
Plus, think about how much you'd help Colt Keith and Riley Green's development. I mean, the bottom line is, if you start to stack high-quality hitters...
Silly me. I still believe that if you had gone that route, that maybe you would even have Torque here because he would not have had to be the savior for this team.
Right, you would have been able to just bury him.
Yeah. You could have did what you did with Javi and just kind of moved him down in the lineup.
Oh, just play him every day as if he's functional? Because that's what they're doing. Wow. And then I could hop on the Slumber Party podcast with Jason Benetti, and I could tell everybody... Ha, 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 we don't need free agency. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's really what it sounded like because all I heard was laughter when it was brought up. It's not funny. It's not funny. Right, it's not funny. I want to win. I want fun.
We're going to exercise this demon out of you.
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. I got to let go.
We got to get some candles. We got to get an old priest and a new priest.
We're going to have some fun. Because I think everybody's got one of these. We're going to talk about it. Honest to God, they're beautiful, David. They're beautiful. All right, let's go.
What is going on here? So we're going to have a little fun here.
You look like Samuel L. Jackson in Jurassic Park. You look beautiful. Somebody get him a cigarette.
Oh, man. Good thing he stayed alive.
In Gladiator 2. Denzel stand in.
Yes.
Oh, buddy. I don't know what they're doing with that movie. All right, go ahead. All right. I'm with you.
So Kenny sent me a graphic here that was somewhat funny here because there was one thing we always say on this show, Mike, and what do we always say about running backs?
We don't pay them.
We don't pay running backs. And this graphic tells you every reason why. In 2023, there was one running back who rushed for 1,200 plus yards.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
In 2003, we had 14.
Yep.
So I want to have fun with this.
Yes.
I want you to name the other 12. I'm going to give you the top of the list and the bottom of the list.
2003?
So let me give you the bottom of the list. Ooh. Who rushed for 1,216 yards for the Giants, Tiki Barber.
Mm-hmm.
So he is off the list. He was number 14.
All
number
right.
One on the list, Jamal Lewis.
That was my guess.
Rushed for 2,066 yards.
Now he set me up for a fail. So that was my guess.
Top of the list and the bottom of the list. Who's the other 12?
Can I offer one, Rico?
Okay.
No, oh, please. No, go.
No. He stole yours, so you go.
Edgerrin James?
Edgerrin James, number 13, 1,259 yards rushing.
Thank God. All right, go.
Because he was everybody's fantasy back, Sean Alexander.
Sean Alexander is number 8 on the list, 1,435 yards.
Okay.
He was number 1 draft pick in every fantasy.
He was back then. Right.
So, that's a great thing you just said because it's ringing a bell now.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
I got two fantasy football all-stars.
Right.
Marshall Faulk and Priest Holmes.
Marshall Faulk is not on this list, but Priest Holmes is on this list.
Okay.
1,420 yards rushing.
Eddie George.
Eddie George just missed the top 14. He rushed for 1,000 yards, 31.
Shout out oversized shoulder pads. We need more of those in the game.
Back in the day, 03, 2000, so great with the uniforms and the.
Your guy from your favorite team.
My guy, my favorite team.
My favorite Martin, Curtis Martin.
Curtis Martin is on the list. Number 12, 1,308 yards rushing.
They ran him to death. All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Did the Denver Broncos... Now, the Broncos had a million running backs.
Mm-hmm. There's one on the list from the Broncos.
Okay, hold on.
Because I'm trying to think of teams were good. Let's see, because the Broncos, that's when Mike Shanahan hated you.
It was...
Because
all right.
If you play fantasy, whoever you played, that guy sat the bench that day.
They had Ruben Drones, they had Mike Anderson, they had Bell... what the hell was his name? The kid from Okie State. They had a new running back every year. David,
this one was acquired in a trade.
Can I just select Broncos RB?
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Clinton Portis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number five, 1,591 yards.
Jansen's boy. It's quite a remix, David. Let's hit the ticket text for the first time today. We'll get to the callers as well. And again, if you're just joining the show, it's very simple. There's no yelling, none of it. It just, I'm tired of the Detroit Tigers not acting like a serious franchise. You cannot pitch Kenta Maeda anymore, period. I don't care what you do with him. Say the guy has toenail fungus, 60-day DL. Send him down. If he doesn't want to be sent down, buy him out, negotiate it. Launch him on a rocket, whatever you like. You can't pitch him anymore. Of the pitchers in baseball with at least 15 starts, only one guy has an ERA north of 6. It's Maeda, a 7.26. You've lost 8 straight and 11.15 when this guy pitches. You're actively giving away games. And then when you do it on top of the fact that every day you stubbornly and brazenly just keep trotting Javi Baez out there. Mm-hmm. Act serious, all right? Otherwise, people are going to continue to treat you like a joke. And it shouldn't be that way. It's too proud of an organization. It's too steeped in history. Enough. Somebody act like you care and have an accountability level. And for the love of God, please, this isn't Little League. I don't want moral victories from A.J. Hinch in the postgame. That's the most minor of the three things I just brought up. David, ticket text, then we'll go calls.
This is a joke for the Tigers. It's like a weird psych experiment. We could have been way more aggressive in the offseason, and we weren't. We overpaid for mediocre talent.
I'll say it. You would have been a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
How about it? You'd be fighting for a playoff spot. I just don't think anyone can make a credible argument anymore to that. Based on of what, okay, what Langford's doing and what Chapman is doing, or Bellinger, or any of these guys are doing. And how would it have really upended your development? Guys, no offense, Buddy Kennedy played third base this year. Akil Baddoo has been living in the backseat of my car. Mm-hmm. Zach McKinstry is still here. Like, you please, spare me. And that's frustrating because people deserve a winner. This town deserves a winner. It's been 10 years, and I don't feel urgency at all. And if you're telling me it's a long-term rebuild, well, here's the problem. Then you're kind of trying to shake both hands, because if it's some super long-term rebuild, that Scooble thing becomes a thing. Now, I'm keeping them unless someone gives me something really nice. But I'm at least answering the phone. Now, if no one offers me what's awesome, great, I keep them. My point is you don't get to have it both ways mm-hmm. as a fan. So you got
long-term rebuild, but we want to keep our superstar.
Yeah, it feels odd. It feels very Mariners Felix Hernandez to me. Yeah, he did a lot for them when they sucked tailpipe for 5 straight years.
But we'll retire your number.
Just enjoying those exhaust fumes.
That's a good call right there.
Right? Didn't Mariner fans? I mean, everybody King was Felix, just yeah. rock hard because we had King Felix. Couldn't win a game. I'm just saying, you better get good in a hurry. And I'm open. I'm open to it. Let's get to the deadline. Let's get to this offseason. But if this offseason is like last offseason, I'm sorry. You can't ask me to be. You can't. With the Scott Harris thing. Now, I'm hoping he's learned a lesson, and I'm hoping we have a very positive offseason here because I can't do this anymore. It's hard to watch. David, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Realistically, this team is 3 to 4 years away. Expecting them to win games now is silly.
No,
tune out
not.
And enjoy your
it's
summer.
Not. It's not. No, you're a moron. I hate using terms like that. No, I don't. They're fun. The point is, how can you say they're 3 to 4 years away? Look at the simple moves we've highlighted. Let me ask you a question for fun. If you have Wyatt Langford in that lineup last night instead of anyone, do you win? If it goes Riley, Keith, Langford, guys had 1,000 OPS the last 4 or 5 weeks. They're not 3-4 years away. Why do you think I'm frustrated? You have playoff caliber pitching.
No.
Had you done anything offensively, I think you'd be fighting for a wild card right now. And by the way, I reserve a right to say what I'm saying. I thought they'd win 84, 85 games this year.
Because, Mike, here's the thing. They're not 3-4 years away. Realistically speaking, they're 3-4 moves away. to being a legitimate team. Now, will they win a World Series? I don't know.
No.
But here's one thing that I do know. If you can make it in the playoffs,
anything can happen.
Anything, yep. Especially with the pitching staff that you have.
I just want to try. But can I get a team that tries?
But David, and see, I don't want to say they're not trying, but it does come off that way. And that's why I keep saying this is a team that has to be scrappy. They have to find ways to win. And that means playing certain people, putting certain people in positions to do that, stealing a base here or there, trying to manufacture runs, and this team doesn't do that.
Well, they don't have any speed. Because Scott Harris has built a team that has absolutely no appetite to run.
And there's my frustration. It's like, okay, it's all right not to have a team full of superstars. Doesn't mean you can't go out there and try to maximize what you have.
Hey, you know who's got 7 steals this year? And he missed a month? White Langford. All right, let's go to...
you know what?
I'm sorry. I got to let it go. I know. Let's go to Adam, 97.1. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, how we doing, guys? Good.
Hey, what's on your mind?
The whole thing that you guys mentioned with Maeda, I mean, that terrible signings with Canna and Maeda, I believe. I mean, Canna is just terrible. Maeda is just absolutely awful. You didn't even need to add a pitcher, realistically. But to your point, I mean, I don't know how much they're under the cap, but you could have still signed Martinez and Chapman and still been under the cap.
There is no cap.
There's
no cap.
Right, no. Right, payroll is what I meant for the Tigers. But they could have added those two players, and they would be at least north of 500 this year, contending for a playoff spot in the wild card, potentially maybe even the division. But your comments for Hinch yesterday, I mean, they need a coach like I think like in Jim Leland. I mean, he held his players accountable with, answering the media. And he would go, if they had a bad game, he'd be like, you know, I didn't have my players ready, and they came out and played like crap. I mean, they need a coach that would hold these players accountable. I don't care if they're young or whatnot, but, you know,
well,
Harris needs to spend money, man.
Well, okay, so there's a couple of things. And, Adam, I will briefly hit on a few of these. A, the accountability you present to the public is often different than what you present privately. So I'm not going to put that on AJ. I'm just saying I don't need to hear it publicly. Second of all, I don't want to play the game of them bringing in 2 high-priced bats and Wyatt Langford. Because then it treads on unfair. So I've tried to scale it back because we're in a de-escalation July where it's
de-escalation.
One July. Human being plus Langford, you'd be in this wild card race. 100%. I believe that with every fiber of my soul. Because like if it were Matt Chapman and Wyatt Langford, by the end of the year, they're going to combine for roughly about a 9.5-10 war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're Frankenstein at third base and Mark Canna will be lucky if they get to 0. That's the numbers.
That's the frustrating thing. It's not 3 years away. It's 3 moves away, and you keep making the wrong moves.
Plus, think about how much you'd help Colt Keith and Riley Green's development. I mean, the bottom line is, if you start to stack high-quality hitters.
Silly me. I still believe that if you had gone that route, that maybe you would even have Torque here because he would not have had to be the savior for this team.
Right, you would have been able to just bury him.
Yeah. You could have did what you did with Javi and just kind of moved him down in the lineup.
Oh, just play him every day as if he's functional? Because that's what they're doing. Wow. And then I could hop on the Slumber Party podcast with Jason Benetti and I could tell everybody, we don't need free agency. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's really what it sounded like because all I heard was laughter when it was brought up. It's not funny. Right. It's not funny. I want to win. I want fun.
We're going to exercise this demon out of you.
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. I got to let go.
We got to get some candles. We got to get an old priest and a new priest.
We're going to have some fun because I think everybody's got one of these. We're going to talk about it. Honest to God, they're beautiful, David. They're beautiful.
What is going on here? So we're going to have a little fun here.
You look like Samuel L. Jackson in Jurassic Park. You look beautiful. Somebody get him a cigarette.
Oh, man. Good thing he stayed alive.
In Gladiator 2. Denzel stand in.
Yes.
Oh, buddy. I don't know what they're doing with that movie. All right, go ahead.
All right.
I'm with you.
So Kenny sent me a graphic here that was somewhat funny here because there was one thing we always say on this show, Mike, and what do we always say about running backs?
We don't pay them.
We don't pay running backs. And this graphic tells you every reason why. In 2023, there was one running back who rushed for 1,200 plus yards.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
In 2003, we had 14.
Yep.
So I want to have fun with this.
Yes.
I want you to name the other 12. I'm going to give you the top of the list and the bottom of the list.
2003?
So let me give you the bottom of the list. Ooh. Who rushed for 1,216 yards for the Giants, Tiki Barber.
Mm-hmm.
So he is off the list. He was number 14.
All right.
Number one on the list, Jamal Lewis.
That was my get.
Rushed for 2,066 yards.
Now he set me up for a fail. That was my
top of the list and the bottom of the list. Who's the other 12?
Can I offer one, Rico?
Okay.
No, oh, please. No, go.
No. He stole yours, so you go.
Edgerrin James?
Edgerrin James, number 13, 1,259 yards rushing.
Thank God. All right, go.
Because he was everybody's fantasy back, Sean Alexander.
Sean Alexander is number 8 on the list, 1,435 yards.
Okay.
He was number 1 draft pick in every fantasy.
He was back then. All right.
So, that's a great thing you just said because it's ringing a bell now.
Here we go.
I got two fantasy football all-stars.
Right.
Marshall Faulk and Priest Holmes.
Marshall Faulk is not on this list, but Priest Holmes is on this list.
Okay.
1,420 yards rushing.
Eddie George
just missed the top 14. He rushed for 1,000 yards, 31.
Shout out oversized plus shoulder pads. We need more of those in the game.
Back in the day, 03, 2000, so great with the uniforms and the.
Your guy from your favorite team.
My guy, my favorite team.
My favorite Martin, Curtis Martin.
Curtis Martin is on the list. Number 12, 1,308 yards rushing.
They ran him to death. All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Did the Denver Broncos, now the Broncos had a million running backs.
Mm-hmm. There's one on the list from the Broncos.
Okay, hold on.
Because I'm trying to think of teams that were good. You see, because the Broncos, that's when Mike Shanahan hated you.
It was,
because
all right,
if you play fantasy, whoever you played, that guy sat the bench that day.
They had Ruben Drones, they had Mike Anderson, they had Bell. What the hell was his name? The kid from Okie State. They had a new running back every year. David,
one was acquired in a trade.
Can I just select Broncos RB?
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Clinton Portis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number 5, 1,591 yards.
Jansen's boy. Okay.
Yes, he is.
Is there a backstory I'm missing?
Yeah. He hates Clinton Portis.
Why is that?
Former teammate.
I have no idea.
He has to tell you the story. Apparently he hates him.
He hates him with passion.
Okay. All right. Noted.
I'm trying to think who was good. You know what? The Packers were good.
The Packers do have a running back on here.
Packers were good.
He is, in fact, number 2 on this list.
Who was the Packer running back?
21 years ago today, who was the back for the Pack?
Was it Dorsey Levens?
Oh, my God.
No.
That's like mid-90s.
Yeah, okay. No.
So you went back too far.
Well, I went back too far. We open with that. Green.
Amon Green?
You got it, man. Green. Amon
nice
Green.
Paul.
Green.
Nice, Paul.
Because the guy I used to work with was a Packer lover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to hear how great these guys were at all times.
I will give you a hint.
Okay.
For one, he likes to smoke a lot of weed.
That doesn't narrow it down in NFL circles. NFL.
Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams, 1,372 yards rushing, number 10 on this list.
And again, this is a reference point to 03.
Yes.
15 backs produced at least 1,200 yards. Last year, 1, Christian McCaffrey.
Times have changed.
And they have diversified skill sets, and you use multiple backs.
Yeah, you use like 4 backs in a game now.
Mm-hmm.
Give us another hint.
Wait. I'm trying to think of touchdown makers in the draft.
West.
I was about to say, was Christian Okoye?
Wait, LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh.
Number 3, 1,645 yards.
Now hold on.
Was Okoye on that list? Oh, no, that's too far back.
That's 93.
Yeah, too far back.
I'm trying to think of Chiefs back.
Rico's got his Steve Atwater underwear on.
Who can't wait?
Listen, hold on.
I'm trying to think who was it, because the Chiefs had a back.
I have something for you.
Go here.
This is one of our favorite segments. Kenny watches highlights that he weren't aware existed. I need you to pull up LaDainian Tomlinson versus UTEP at TCU. He put up 360 yards rushing, and they ran like the speed option. Everything was a pitch, and all Tomlinson did was go right up the sideline for 80 yards. Tremendous viewing. Carry on.
There is a Buffalo Bill on this list.
Oh, McGahee.
No.
Oh.
Travis Henry.
Yes!
Travis Henry.
Yes!
Number 11, 1,356 yards.
Oh, my God.
He's watching. We got him on the highlights, everybody. Again, once in a while, something presents itself. We had him go watch Michael Vick versus Boston College. We had the Katzenmoyer hit versus Mizzou. Kenny learning about football that he wasn't aware of is one of my joys in life. Savor it, Kenny.
There are two players left on this list.
Was Priest Holmes playing, or is that too far?
I got that one.
He got Priest Holmes. Okay. Yeah. But you were Kansas City. You were guessing correct.
I'm trying to think.
So two players left on this list.
Need a hint, David.
Both teams currently play in the South Division on the AFC and the NFC side.
No way. Warwick Dunn?
No.
Fred Taylor.
Okay. Fred Taylor, Jacksonville, rushed for 1,572 yards.
Oh! Jesus.
Just broke like seven tackles.
I told you. And it's all in standard def. Yeah. All right. So.
Final running back.
So, Atlanta. Atlanta.
No. We have the
AFC. I'll say no.
Oh, okay. Wait. You're right. Right division.
Oh, but it says not Atlanta.
Not Atlanta.
I was going to say Duckett, but no, you said not
Atlanta. I was thinking like Jamal not Anderson Atlanta. Or something. Go ahead, David. We're running out of time.
It is Carolina Panthers running back Steven Davis.
Oh, my
Seventh
God.
On the list, rushed for 1,444 yards.
Yeah, you know what? You would have,
Who punched Steven Davis in the face and knocked him out at practice? Very famous encounter.
Oh, it was. Oh.
And it was, I believe Jansen was on that team.
It was the guy.
Think about.
He played at Colorado.
Miracle at the Big House.
Yes, he played at Colorado, the wide receiver.
Michael Westbrook.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he
maybe,
caught that ball.
Yeah, but apparently, you got Jansen and Clint Portis. Yeah, not good.
Jesus. Noted.
To this day.
Okay.
Hates him.
All right.
And that is in football today.
Honest to God, they're beautiful, David. They're beautiful. All right, let's go.
What is going on here? So we're going to have a little fun here.
You look like Samuel L. Jackson in Jurassic Park. You look beautiful. Somebody get him a cigarette.
Oh, man. Good thing he stayed alive.
In Gladiator 2. Denzel stand in.
Yes.
Oh, buddy. I don't know what they're doing with that movie. All right, go ahead.
All right. I'm with you.
So Kenny sent me a graphic here that was somewhat funny here because there was one thing we always say on this show, Mike, and what do we always say about running backs?
We don't pay them.
We don't pay running backs. And this graphic tells you every reason why. In 2023, there was one running back who rushed for 1,200 plus yards.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
In 2003, we had 14.
Yep.
So I want to have fun with this.
Yes.
I want you to name the other 12. I'm going to give you the top of the list and the bottom of the list.
2003?
So let me give you the bottom of the list. Ooh. Who rushed for 1,216 yards for the Giants, Tiki Barber.
Mm-hmm.
So he is off the list. He was number 14.
All
number
right.
one on the list, Jamal Lewis.
That was my get.
Rushed for 2,066 yards.
Now he set me up for a fail. So that was my
top
guess.
Of the list and the bottom of the list. Who's the other 12?
Can I offer one, Rico?
Okay.
No, please. No, go.
No. He stole yours, so you go.
Edgerrin James?
Edgerrin James, number 13, 1,259 yards rushing.
Thank God. All right, go.
Because he was everybody's fantasy back, Sean Alexander.
Sean Alexander is number 8 on the list, 1,435 yards.
Okay.
He was number 1 draft pick in every fantasy.
He was back then.
All right. So, that's a great thing you just said because it's ringing a bell now.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
I got two fantasy football all-stars.
Right.
Marshall Faulk and Priest Holmes.
Marshall Faulk is not on this list, but Priest Holmes is on this list.
Okay.
1,420 yards rushing.
Eddie George.
Eddie George just missed the top 14. He rushed for 1,000 yards, 31.
Looks shout out, oversized plus. Shoulder pads. We need more of those in the game.
Back in the day, 03, 2000, oh. So great with the uniforms and the...
Your guy from your favorite team.
My guy, my favorite team.
My favorite Martin, Curtis Martin.
Curtis Martin is on the list. Number 12, 1,308 yards rushing.
They ran him to death. All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Did the Denver Broncos... Now, the Broncos had a million running backs.
Mm-hmm. There's one on the list from the Broncos.
Okay, hold on.
Because I'm trying to think of teams hold that on. Were good. Let's see, because the Broncos, that's when Mike Shanahan hated you.
It was,
because
all right.
If you play fantasy, whoever you played, that guy sat the bench that day.
They had Ruben Drones, they had Mike Anderson, they had Bell, what the hell was his name, the kid from Okie State. They had a new running back every year. David, can
this
I just...
This one was acquired in a trade.
Can I just select Broncos RB?
Okay, all right, I'll give you that. Clinton Portis.
Wow. Yeah.
Number five, 1,591 yards.
Jansen's boy. Okay.
Yes, he is.
Is there a backstory I'm missing?
Yeah. He hates Clinton Portis.
Why
former
is that?
Former teammate.
I have no
idea.
He has
idea. To tell you the story. Apparently he hates him.
He hates him with passion.
Okay. All right. Noted.
I'm trying to think who was good. You know what? The Packers were good.
The Packers do have a running back on here.
Packers for good.
He is, in fact, number two on this list.
Who was the Packer running back?
21 years ago today, who was the back for the Pack?
Was it Dorsey Levens?
Oh, my God.
No.
That's like mid-90s.
Yeah, okay. No.
So you went back too far.
Well, I went back too far. We Green.
Amon Green?
You got it, man. Green. Amon
nice
Green.
Pull.
Green.
Nice pull.
Because the guy I used to work with was a Packer lover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to hear how great these guys were at all times.
I will give you a hint.
Okay.
For one, he likes to smoke a lot of weed.
That doesn't narrow it down in NFL circles.
Oh, Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams, 1,372 yards rushing, number 10 on this list.
And again, this is a reference point to 03.
Yes.
15 backs produced at least 1,200 yards. Last year, one, Christian McCaffrey.
Times have changed.
And they have diversified skill sets, and you use multiple backs.
Yeah, you use like four backs in a game now.
Mm-hmm.
Give us another hint.
Oh, wait. I'm trying to think of touchdown makers in the draft.
West.
I was about to say, was Christian Okoye?
Wait, LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh.
Number three, 1,645 yards.
Now, hold on.
Was Okoye on that list? Oh, no, that's too far back.
That's 93.
Yeah, too far back.
I'm trying to think of Chiefs back.
Rico's got his Steve Atwater underwear on.
Who can't wait? Listen,
hold on.
I'm trying to think who was it, because the Chiefs had a back.
I have something for you.
Go here.
This is one of our favorite segments. Kenny watches highlights that he weren't aware existed. I need you to pull up LaDainian Tomlinson versus UTEP at TCU. He put up 360 yards rushing, and they ran like the speed option. Everything was a pitch, and all Tomlinson did was go right up the sideline for 80 yards. Tremendous viewing. Carry on.
There is a Buffalo Bill on this list.
Oh, McGahee.
No.
Oh.
Travis Henry.
Yes! Travis Henry. Yes! Number 11, 1,356 yards.
Oh, my
gosh. He's watching. We got him on the highlights, everybody. Again, once in a while, something presents itself. We had him go watch Michael Vick versus Boston College. We had the Katzenmoyer hit versus Mizzou. Oh. Kenny learning about football that he wasn't aware of is one of my joys in life. Savor it, Kenny.
There are two players left on this list.
Was Priest Holmes playing, or is that too far
I got
back?
That one.
He got Priest Holmes. Okay. Yeah. But you were Kansas City. You were guessing correct.
I'm trying to think.
So two players left on this list.
Need a hint, David.
Both teams currently play in the South Division on the AFC and the NFC side.
No way. Warwick Dunn?
No.
Fred Taylor.
Okay. Fred Taylor, Jacksonville, rushed for 1,572 yards.
Oh!
He's broke like seven tackles.
I told you. And it's all in standard def. Yeah. All right. So
I know running back.
So, Atlanta.
Atlanta.
No, no. We have the AFC.
I'll say no.
Oh, okay. Wait. You're right. Right division.
Oh, but it says not Atlanta.
Not Atlanta.
I was going to say Duckett, but no, you said not
Atlanta. No, I was thinking like Jamal not Anderson Atlanta. Or something. Go ahead, David. We're running out of time.
It is Carolina Panthers running back Steven Davis.
Oh, my
Seventh
God.
On the list, rushed for 1,444
Trivia.
Yards.
Yeah, you know what? You would have. Yeah.
Who punched Steven Davis in the face and knocked him out at practice? Very famous encounter.
Oh, it was. Oh.
And it was, I believe Jansen was on that team.
It was the guy.
Think about.
He played at Colorado.
Miracle at the Big House.
Yes, he played at Colorado, the wide receiver.
Michael Westbrook.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he
maybe,
caught that
yeah,
ball.
But apparently, yeah, you got Jansen and Clint Portis. Yeah, not good.
Jesus. Noted.
To this day.
Okay.
Hates him.
All right.
And that is In Football Today.